We mentioned earlier that my Salvation Army virtual kettle is up to about $2,500, but we have a much more ambitious goal than that. We're going to do a little radiothon for the Salvation Army next week, but maybe it's the week after. December the 18th, I think it is. So next week, boy, the holidays are fast approaching. Well, they're here. Christmas is right around the corner. But if you can't listen that day, you can right now go to WGNradio.com, click on the John Williams page, and there you'll find me ringing a bell, and right there you can make your online donation. Some of you have given us $5. Somebody gave us $500. The more you give, the more good the Salvation Army is able to do. Jim Christensen is in our studio, says here, former client of the Salvation Armies. Hi, Jim. Welcome to the show. How are you?
John, nice to meet you.
Where are you from, sir?
Originally from Chicago, South Side.
And do you live in Chicago now?
My wife and I, we live in Frankfort.
Frankfort, Illinois. You got family? You got kids? Tell me about yourself.
Sir. Well, I got 5 children, 4 girls and a boy. And we have 7 grandchildren. The 8th is on its way.
Wow. What do you do for a living?
I'm owner of Beggar's Pizza in Oak Lawn, Illinois.
Oh, no kidding. I know the name of that place. I don't know if I've been in there. Beggar's Pizza in Oak Lawn.
Yes, sir.
Tell me about that. What's good at your joint?
Oh, well, of course the pizza.
Yeah.
But I mean, we take pride in everything. I think everything is good. I've been with Beggar's for over 40 years.
Is that a franchise or is that a local?
I'm a franchise,
yes. Yeah, franchise, yeah. Right. Okay. Because I'm wondering, why do they call it Beggar's? Why do they call it Beggar's Pizza?
The father who started it all, who's gone today, told me, and the sons asked me why. They didn't even know. And you know what? I forgot.
Well, that doesn't matter. I guess the main thing is you got good pizza, Beggar's Pizza.
Yes.
That's all I need to know. But okay, so you're a nice guy, businessman, family man. So how is it that you were a client of the Salvation Army?
Oh, wow. For a good part of my adult life, I battled drugs and alcohol. At one point, well, actually 16 years ago, it got really bad. Crack cocaine and alcohol. I was about to lose everything. My wife was going to leave me. They foreclosed on my home. My children didn't have a lot of respect for me at the time. I had a heart attack that was drug-induced at the age of about 46. And finally, my boss told me, he says, Jim, he says, take a year off of work. He says, get your life in order. He saw how bad things were. And reluctantly, I went into a rehab program, and it was with the Salvation Army. My children's youth minister had a connection with the Waukegan Adult Rehab Center, and they made arrangements for me to go in there. And I went there. I had a few drinks before I went, and they wouldn't let me in because I had alcohol on my breath.
Yeah, sure.
So I walked the streets of Waukegan all night. So it was at the end of February, very cold. So I had a lot of time to do some thinking. And by the time they let me in the morning, I was hungry. I was cold. They offered me some food and a bed. And so I was actually glad to be there. Hmm. And while I was there, I picked up a Bible and I started to read it, and it changed my life. And it's kept me sober ever since. Hmm. And prior to that, I had gone into a rehab for 2 weeks that my wife's insurance would take care of. After the 2 weeks, the insurance ran out. They told me I was cured. And obviously, that didn't work. And things got bad. And that's when I went to Salvation Army. Salvation Army didn't ask me for a dime. They even clothed me. They housed me. They gave me a job. You have a work program. I worked in the sorting warehouse for a while. Then I went into the cafeteria to work. And, you know, at that point in my life, it gave me some dignity, too.
Were you living in the Salvation Army then?
Yes,
facility?
Sir. Yeah, for 3 months.
For 3 months you were, so that's inpatient, huh?
Yes, sir.
If you will. I mean, it's not like you're going back out into the world, going home,
right,
visiting with your family.
Right.
What was the difference between the Salvation Army's program and what you'd experienced otherwise?
Without a doubt, it was being faith-based. You know, today Jesus keeps me sober.
Yeah.
You know, I was not accountable to no one.
Were you a religious person before?
I believed in God, but I really didn't have any kind of a relationship
You didn't go to church regularly. You didn't consider yourself a big church guy.
No, maybe at Christmas.
So then I guess it must have been a bit of a surprise to you that you were finding strength in this.
Oh, wow. Yes. I really believe the good Lord spoke to me. He told me that he'd renew my life if I would serve him. And he kept his promise, and I kept mine.
How humbling or humiliating was it to you were a guy, you were out, you had a life, you had family, you had friends, and now you're living in a Salvation Army facility?
It was during my 25th wedding anniversary also. It was very humbling, very humbling. I was the number one manager at the restaurant, and you know, when I came back from rehab, you know, I was basically kind of a well-dressed busboy, and it was very humbling. But I knew God had a plan for my life, and today I own the restaurant.
Hmm. And you know, it's funny because obviously you found sobriety and also faith.
Yes, sir.
The Salvation Army does not require, as I understand it, that I have a religious conversion. Right. I mean, they're a faith-based organization, but you don't have to subscribe to the Salvation Army, right? You don't have to join the church, per se.
They didn't ask me what I believed before I came in there. And, you know, that was my choice.
Yeah.
They, you know, it was there if you wanted it, but yes, they were there to help you as a person.
So I understand. So some people talk like you, and they say, Jesus is with me every day, and other people just say, thank you, Salvation Army.
Sure.
I don't care. I don't know that you care either, as long as it's effective and it's helpful. Hold on one second. LFI, I'm listening to stuff in my ears that probably isn't helpful. I don't need to hear that. So you get out and then go back to work and then just start to build your career back up, huh?
I got out of Salvation Army and went to Phoenix, Arizona. And my sister is a God-fearing woman. And I served in her church for another couple months. And then I went back home. And
What did your family say when you came out? Did they trust that you were going to be you, or did they accept the new you? Yeah, talk a little bit about that.
No, because I had really burned all my bridges, especially with my wife. I told her, I says, I'd be willing to, if you never trust me again, if you would take me back. But within just a couple of months, she saw something in me. And I knew the day when she gave me the PIN number for our credit card, I knew that she would trust me again.
Wow. How many kids you say you have?
Five.
Yeah. What were their ages when you went into rehab with the Salvation Army?
Well, gosh, 16 years ago, my son was 16 years old.
Wow.
All the way up to about, they'll kill me if I get it wrong.
No, they won't.
The way up to about 30.
Yeah, yeah. Well, they must have been very proud of you, too, when you got out.
I think they were.
Not easy to do.
And we're never too old to, you know, not have our children be proud of us, too, you know, even though we're proud of our children.
Well, and I also think if people have in mind, well, what's the typical Salvation Army client? Like, who do they help? And we might think of the people on the street who don't have food or children who don't have toys. But you weren't any of those people.
No.
You're a businessman on the South Side. You've got a family. You've got a job. You're successful. Drugs and alcohol take over your life.
Yes.
And lo and behold, the Salvation Army is there to reclaim you.
It rescued me.
I just think of all of the value that the Salvation Army brings to Chicago that we just don't think about sometimes. People getting out of jail who are worried that they're going to relapse in their criminal ways. What are we doing to help those people? The Army has a program. We talked about trafficking of humans last week. That's something you and I have the luxury of not having to think about much, but think how devastating that is to people. And none of this happens without the funds that the Army operates with. So on my page, WGNradio.com, on the John Williams page, you can make your donation there. You and I don't know each other. We look alike. We could be, we're kind of, you know, middle-aged guys.
Sure.
And I think it takes a lot of courage and honesty on your part to come in and tell this story to us today.
Well, the Salvation Army saved my life. I know I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for what they did to me and for me. And, you know, and we're big supporters today because, you know, that program didn't cost me anything, but I know someone paid for it.
Yeah, no kidding.
They fed me, they clothed me for 3 months.
Hmm.
And, so someone paid for it. So if I could help today and help someone else that needs that program, then that's what I want to do.
Jim Christensen, former client of the Salvation Army, still doing a lot of good in the community. Jim, thanks for coming in, and happy holidays to your family.
You. And you too. Thank you very much.
Yeah. WGNRadio.com, John Williams page. Can you make a donation right now?